Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you. It's time for Breaking Chains on YAT Radio. So suit up in your full armor of God with your host, Pastor Roderick Williams, as we leave a mark that can't be erased by breaking the chains of silence.
Amen, amen, amen. Welcome to Breaking Chains. It's a special assignment. I pray that you're having a wonderful Monday. I greet you in the name of God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. I pray all is well throughout the land, and I tell you what, it's a lot going on, so we're just going to keep breaking chains and pressing forward. Let us have a moment of prayer. Most gracious and merciful Father, we just thank you for a glorious day. We thank you for your Son, Jesus the Christ, as we're led of the Holy Spirit to give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. We thank you for all your beauty and your creation. We thank you for breath in our bodies. Father God, we ask that you stand guard of our radio broadcast tonight, Father God. Place your angels over us tonight, the host, Father God, and all the participants, all the listeners throughout the land, Father God. Father God, break chains throughout the land, Father God. Bring a peace to your people, and Father God, heal the land. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Let's get ready to break chains tonight, y'all. We got a very special guest tonight. The special assignment is going to step it up tonight. Last week, we started a segment where we talked about youth development and how we can help out with our young people. Tonight, we're going to take that to another level. We have a very special guest, Mr. LaVon Meadow, going to be up tonight with the Deputy Director of Operations with Bagley Youth Development right there in College Park, Georgia. So everybody, put on your full armor of God. Let's suit up. Let's get ready to break chains right here on YAT Radio. Hang on. Our special guest is coming right.
I've been at it for a while, but it's time for me to get back on it now. Yeah. Yeah. I've been at it for a while, but it's time for me to get back on it now. Yeah. Yeah. I've been at it for a while, but it's time for me to get back on it now. Ain't no shackles holding me down, no. No. Ain't no shackles holding me now, no. No. And it ain't nobody pulling me down, no. No. Not even no devil holding me down. Man, I worship a mountain mover. He done may be a valley walker. Man, I worship a mind renewer. Bring back to my memory what he done taught me. Ain't no shackles on me now, no. Ain't no shackles on me now. Wake up and I put my armor on. I do that by coming boldly before the throne. It's mandatory, my defense is God alone. I feel the spirit, it's like fire in my bones. Don't get me wrong, I go to church a lot, but that ain't the reason for my relationship. But God is just, he brought me through a lot. When that kind of priority see on top, and I worship like I'm gone mad. Give it all like the last stand. Threw my past in a trash can. Ain't got nothing to hide like an hourglass. Keep it holding like I'm supposed to. Down for Jesus like a foe fool. God is good to me like soul food. And that's why I love him so I tell him ain't no shackles on me down, no. No. Ain't no shackles on me now, no. If you're free, put your hands up. Yeah, put your hands up. If you're really free, put your hands up. Let the people see that you're free, put your hands up. If you're really free, put your hands up. Yeah, go ahead, put your hands up. If you're really free, let me see. Cause the people need to see that you're free, put your hands up. I'm radical, can't help that I'm teed up. Been a bounce bad like a re-up. And I'm going hard in the pain, and I represent this thing like a crypt doing seize up. Light of the world, people need us. Yeah, it's in the scripture, people need us. But the thing is, when they see us, they don't really see us. They looking at Jesus. And he said that if I be lifted up, he'll draw all men unto him. So I looked at my cross and now I'll pick it up. And I'ma follow him all the way to the end with a grin. Cause I know in the end that I win and I'm in. Cause he saved me from sin and he's seated on the right hand. I lifted up and he's living in me. Can't you tell that I'm free? Ain't no shackles holding me down, no. No. Ain't no shackles holding me now, no. Holding me down, no, no, not even no devil's holding me down, no, no, yeah, oh, cause man, I worship a mountain mover, oh, he done made me a valley walker, oh, man, I worship a mind renewer, bring back to my memory what he done taught me, oh, ain't no shackles holding me down, no, no. hands up. If you really free, put your hands up. Yeah, go ahead, put your hands up. If you really free, let me see, cause the people need to see that you're free, put your hands up. Ain't no shackles holding me down, no.
No.
Ain't no shackles holding me now, no.
No.
And it ain't nobody holding me down, no.
No.
Not even no devil's holding me down. Cause man, I worship a mountain mover.
Oh.
He done made me a valley walker.
Oh.
Man, I worship a mind renewer. Bring back to my memory what he done taught me.
Oh.
Man, I worship a mountain mover. He done made me a valley walker. Man, I worship a mind renewer. Bring back to my memory what he done taught me. Ain't no shackles on him and down.
No, 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 no.
Ain't no shackles on him and down.
No, no.
No shackles holding you down. You got to let yourself be heard. Lift up your voice. You know what? 2 Chronicles 7:14 is a scripture everybody's using out there. And you know, when you use the word of God, you got to know what you're talking about. You got to know what purpose of the word is all about. And here at Breaking Chains, we love to use the word of God. It's all about. That's what Breaking Chains is about. Putting out the word of God in everything that we do. And when God says, if my people, which are called by my name, should humble themselves and pray, seek his face, turn from the wicked ways. You know what? He say, then will he hear from heaven and forgive his sins and then heal the land. The land can't get healed until the people of God come together and get ourselves together. And here at Breaking Chains, we bring the special assignment together on Mondays where we start bringing in people that have a special assignment. And this man that I'm about to bring on here, this gentleman here is a very powerful man of God, but also he has a special assignment. And brothers and sisters out there, I want to bring on very special friend of mine, dear gentleman, Mr. Von Meadow out there in College Park, Georgia. My supervisor out there in Georgia, working at Bagley Youth Development. Good evening, sir, and welcome to Breaking Chains, Mr. Von. Welcome to the show.
My pleasure being with you.
It's good to have you here, sir. We want to talk about some things tonight, but we want to start the show off, and we like to get everybody to tell a little bit about themselves before we get into what it is that you do well out here in the communities of Georgia around there, all throughout the state. So if you don't mind, take a few minutes to introduce yourself and tell a little bit about yourself, and you know, and then we'll get into the depthness of our conversation tonight.
I'll try to share a little information after that big buildup. I don't know if I can live up to that, but let me just share some background information. been working with a service provider agency to the state in terms of working with foster care families as well as the juvenile justice population in terms of trying to give them some direction and help out and find necessary resources to support them in terms of them becoming stable and moving along in life. So that's a big goal. And with that, when they identify and say, well, this family needs wraparound services, then that's just a general term. But once you talk to them, you find out what they're in need of or what you could help supply them with to make sure that they're starting to believe in themselves and have some faith in other people, because often they're people have been challenged in life, and a lot of people have lied to them. So we got to build that trust factor as much as quickly as possible so we could give them some direction. So some of the counseling is in general, and that's directional counseling to tell them what needs to be done to kind of turn their life around or to get better prepared. And then the other part, we have to sometimes deal with clinical counseling where there's a diagnosis involved and what needs to happen there to help them have a balanced life. So that's primarily what we do, and we go into the field. So we're not office people who, yeah, get them in here so we can talk to them. We go see, touch, and smell where they are, because that's how you're going to get a good feel for those other environmental factors that's affecting their life.
That's good. That's good.
So that
okay.
pretty much puts it in a nutshell.
Okay. 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 So let's jump on in, Mr. Vaughn. There are a lot of things that when I was there in Georgia that I did when I went out. Let's start from what's going on today. What type of effect that will have on our young people when the COVID-19 school was stopped and a lot of things were put at a halt? What kind of effect do you think? And let's start at the home first. What kind of effect did that have on the home? From what would you see from your standpoint and your point of view and what you do every day in seeing these things? What kind of effect has that had on the home?
Well, it's presented a lot of people with a challenge. Of course, the schools, since the main knowledge of the virus kind of started hitting in March, then they closed down the schools. The families we deal with are low to moderate income, and the other kids may be considered at risk. So these kids are not always prepared. They have not developed enough discipline to start doing courses online per se. That's what they offered, and of course they had to come up with some alternative, but it just didn't click for everybody. Because the other thing is, you got to have a laptop or a tablet or something to get online, and not everybody had that accessible to them. And then they could go to the library. Well, the libraries was closing also to the general public. So they had to scramble around and try to do that, and there was some moderate success with it, but overall it didn't touch everybody the way it should. And then from there, the parents, they wanted them to help out, and some of the curriculum that they're covering now was not covered when they were in school or when I was in school. So you had to still reach out to somebody else to try to get some help, and they didn't have the helplines already established to really help kids. So those were some of the immediate challenges that the virus brought about. And then besides that, children and young children are geared towards activities now and outside. A lot is on video, but that's a fun activity instead of a learning activity. So you had to kind of try to restructure everything so they would have FaceTime with the computer to still do their assignments. So those were the immediate challenges that we ran into.
Wow. So when we talk about these type of challenges that our young people ran into, because the type of parents and children that you have to deal with, is it possible that, and I want to say this properly, our parents and our young people, their children, are okay. Being at home for this length of time, and the parents having to be the educator, the parent, and all of this all wrapped up into one, and they're so used to being at a school, but now they have to be home. Does that cause a problem in the relationship aspect, and they have to pull you in to have to kind of fix some situations there as well?
Well, yeah, you ran into some of those scenarios also, because they were not used to that allocation of time. Often parents really have about 8 hours of conscious time with their children once they're involved in school or after school activities. So they really don't have a big block of time there that, you know, they're, I call it conscious hours that they spend. And all of a sudden now that became almost like 24 hours because they had to get up, feed them, and start structuring and many of the parents had a challenge with structured time themselves. So for them to automatically come up with a structured system for the children. And if any of the children had special needs, it really became more challenging for them. So, yes, there was that notable challenge there for everything to work the way it should or the way we hope for.
So that actually brought in and possible, and I'm not trying to speak anything, and I want to address a lot of these issues tonight, Mr. Vaughn, because this is your specialty, and I want our parents and people to listen so that they can help in their homes and they can get some questions answered. And once again, I thank
sure.
you for being here tonight. Anger management is something that you deal with in one of your programs that you have to deal with. So with those type of things going on in the home, that brings in more anger management cases because the parent is having to deal with it like that. And you're having to deal with an anger management case with the parent and even the child, because these cases are building up because of the situation that's going on with this pandemic.
Yeah, that's why I was saying all of a sudden staying with them on a 24-hour period, nerves become a little frayed. And everyone is not balanced enough to just talk that scenario through to de-escalate all the time. So
right.
it can escalate. And then also if the child already was struggling, trying to achieve a certain grade level, and then they're not feeling that inclined to keep trying to do the work at home, they feel that's more of a break at, you know, at a vacation time. You're off from school. So trying to get them re-engaged with doing school work, you know, the parents may get frustrated and say, well, that's why you're failing now. You need to do this. So all the parents may not have the best delivery in terms of conveying the importance of them trying to do the work. So, yeah, that became a challenge. And then if some of the other kids around is outside not doing their work because the parents didn't feel like they need to keep them there, they could hear them outside, and they want to go outside with their friends. So all of those elements come together that make a pretty challenging scenario for a lot of families.
So the plans that you put together and put into the homes to leave there for them, do those plans usually work out for these families? And do you see
if they really buy into it and want it, because if we look at that situation and see what that challenge is, there are some other tutorial agencies around that's their job, that they could help out. And some of them had to start going to the laptops and just doing a virtual communication, but they could still do that. Some of the other people who wasn't quite intimidated by the virus would put on the mask and they would still be available to come out in the neighborhood. But once you see, now, if they didn't have the electronics to do it, you would have to find out from, you know, help them petition the school system and say, okay, this is what you guys came up with. What do you all have in place to assist these particular families? And then you help expedite that situation, which that did occur, because some of the school system realized, yeah, all the kids may not have had that. So they had some other, I guess, nonprofits or benevolent donors who came up. They realized that challenge also, and they came up with the purchase of some electronics to help that situation out. But the parents may not always know that. They just would maybe shrug it off and say, yeah, well, they want them to do it. They needed to give it to them, and they wouldn't follow up. So you got to step in and help navigate that for them.
Right. How about this is something that I do see, just, you know, when you're out and about, you see just young people just doing this. The substance abuse problem that we see rising with our young people. What about that situation right there? How do you confront that issue there?
Well, unfortunately, you first got to deal with the mindset and the acceptance, because the marijuana has just become a sociable. They don't even want to call it a drug, you know. It's
just, right.
So it's just become that on a sociable level. And then you have to look and see where the kid is getting it from. Are they out hustling and they buying it, or are they selling and that's they get part of the proceeds? We've had some kids, unfortunately, that was just going to somebody's top drawer and getting it out, and then you had to tell the mother, and they talking about, well, I'm grown. They can, yeah, but you got it accessible. You can't complain that he's smoking all the time. You pretty much saying he's smoking up all your weed. So we got to address that part of it also and let them know. And if they don't respond quickly enough, that means that they're breaking the law and endangering their child. And they could be charged with, you know, delinquency of a minor and stuff. So you got to approach it all the way and find out the source of the distraction there. And then the importance of it, because it still is a drug and not everybody reacts the same way. Same way you're talking about alcohol. Somebody has one beer and they all of a sudden might be falling down drunk. Another person drink a six-pack and smile and keep moving. It don't affect them that much. So you explain to them that it's another chemical going into your body and it affects everybody differently. And you try to point out the dangers there. But besides that, since it hasn't been totally legal in this state anyway, they're dealing with a criminal element. And there's been young people who then got caught in a crossfire with someone talking about they got cheated and got shot and stuff. So there's a lot of danger signs there, and you have to bring it to a point of reality and see if that touches home anywhere.
That's good. That's good. Thank you very much for that. And actually just, you're going through some things that you offer there. I want to talk about now. Here's something that we also see a lot of and hear, well, I heard a lot about it. The pipeline to prison. You hear a lot of people talking about that, and let's talk about that for a second there, Mr. Bond, because you know you hear just a lot of cliches or hearsay thrown out there, and my take on that is that encourage children to get an education and not to go to the streets. And I think that when we say certain things or put certain things out there, and I think people just take things the wrong way. What is your take on that? Because it's just out there, and what do you say about that?
Well, there's been a lot of conversation on it in Georgia. Georgia had the fifth highest incarcerated population in the nation. So out of the 50 states, they were fifth, but Georgia doesn't have the fifth largest population among the 50 states. Out of that, about 75% is minority population in prison. Mm. So we are constantly talking about prevention, intervention, as opposed to, oh yeah, build some more jails, because that's really not working. It's already been shown to be very ineffective. However, they're not really putting the same money resources into prevention and intervention that they should. The standardized testing that they're talking about, they have a testing system now for the third grade, and they're supposed to be able to look at that and predict who might be going to jail in the future. Unfortunately, out of the sampling, yes, statistics, something's going to happen, but that's not a great indicator and stuff either. So you need to try to reach kids early on as much as possible, because once they develop those living habits or stay in a place where they're just totally influenced by their environment, they can go off straying. And unfortunately, we've seen situations where as hard as everybody's trying to keep them from that, they bow into the peer pressure more, and that helps add to that prison population thing. Unfortunately, another factor that has manifest here recently is social media. We got folks buying into craziness on social media, or they talking about they threatening people and saying things and not realizing that's a terrorist threat, and they could go to jail. Some are going to jail over that, because this 18 to 24 age range, we're dealing with, they call it pretrial, where they're trying to give them a chance not to fully go to jail. But many times they become so defiant, the judge just say, okay, well, you don't want a chance. See ya. Give them 5 years and stuff. And that's horrible, even with teenagers, because you got teenagers committing adult crimes, and in Georgia they still could be sentenced to adult prison. They go to a juvenile facility until they turn 18. Then they send them on to a prison.
Right.
And in terms of them making it through that sentence unscathed, it's not very good. So, yeah, that pipeline to the prison thing has some reality, because people have been buying into it, unfortunately.
Right.
In the little disturbance recently here in Atlanta, you had some people, 8 people, went out to one of the premier shopping malls and gone break into the Nike store. So they risking their life to go in and steal some gym shoes. And now they caught, and they just may go to prison. It depends on how they want to press that issue on them, because I'm sure what they stealing would show more than $500 value and stuff now. Because they got some gym shoes costing $300, crazy stuff there. So people are buying into that, and that's a bad factor that keep growing right now. We got to try hard to keep trying to press that issue and break it. They, just like now, we're advocating the police to get rid of the blue code and the snitch code. These kids got to drop the snitch code and stuff. They hold on to that, and we got to let them know that's nothing to be proud of. But for some reason, in their environment, they figure that's part of their social tattoo that they got to have.
And there's something, because you saying that, I think that goes back to even their parents enforcing that on them. And there's something, because we're not forcing or encouraging them to get an education. And I said that, you know, get an education. I think that we need to start encouraging our children to a trade or something, because even that snitch code, even if the police drops it, you know what I'm saying? The streets won't drop it, because they still have to worry more about the streets than the police. And those are things that they're there. So let's go a little deeper with that, though, Mr. Bond, because the street code is more dangerous than the police code.
Well, in actuality right now, I mean, there's a big push in Black Lives Matter, and they're talking about the violence of the police, but actually the black-on-black crime is 5-10 times more than that, you know, in terms of Black Lives Matter. So we got to bring some balance to that all the way around if we're going to start having some success at saving the youth.
Right.
And if not, it's still going to keep on a negative trend. I was just talking with my son in Chicago. They done had 60 people die in the last 2 months. Out in the streets and stuff there. You know, I mean, in a big, giant population, that doesn't seem like a lot. But since we keep talking about reach one, save one. It all of it matters. So we're going to have to, as Patti LaBelle say, form a new attitude. We got to do better.
Wow. We did a show last week, and my concern was this, Mr. Bond, is that black lives do matter. Saying? It does. We're black every day. That doesn't change. But let's not let just because they do us wrong today, we speak up about it to them and scream and shout about it, and we're doing each other wrong every day over here, and we say nothing. That's what I'm saying.
We got to bring some balance to that conversation.
Yeah.
Since that has picked up some momentum and moving, we got to balance that out where everybody has a buy-in on the whole package instead of just a slice of the cake.
So do you feel that if we start addressing home first, and this is just a general question here. If we address home first, our communities, that we will have more success in other areas, because it's hard for me to, and I'm just going to say it like this, it's hard for them to sit on the outside looking at us through the window and saying, well, why should we? You know, look what you're doing. So would we have better success if we address home and start coming with some type of unity and togetherness? Because I do believe a lot of it, I wasn't born, but I read, studied my history. We did have that togetherness. We did have that love. We did have that unity. We did have the most powerful family unity on the earth, on the planet. So, you know what I'm saying? That's history. That's written history. So
that is established history. Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is. Yes. So
how we got to survive after slavery.
Come on, Mr. Bond.
That is actually how we got to survive after slavery and stuff. And, of course, in that mix, you had the black woman who emerged as the strongest focal point of that, because she got disrespected by the white guys who would freely want to rape her. And then once the black male was supposed to have the family structure, he emulated some of that same bad behavior, and she still persevered through all of that. So that was the bonding point, you know, for us. And I guess that's why people always refer to Mama or Big Mama or something in that context, that here was that person there holding things together. But yeah, the family, we got to infiltrate that. Unfortunately, with a lot of families, even if you mention something clinical to them, they, I ain't doing that, I ain't crazy. So that's their response. And then if you just ask some other general questions to help with some direction on getting some resources, they become very guarded in the information. And then say, yeah, well, we ain't talking about that because, you know, that's my business, and I ain't discussing my business. So we got to break through those immediate barriers to start having that trust factor and let them believe in themselves and the extended family. That's going to help them, because the extended family is the village concept. You ain't got to be blood related, but you belong to the same village. So recognize that, and let's help each other. That's the approach we try to take.
Hey, man, that's good. There we go. All right, Mr. Vaughn, I want to ask you about your service. This says the consultant for military services. We have a lot of military families out there. What type of services do you offer for our military families?
Well, primarily there's the CEO, Georgiana Bagley. She has a contract with the military, and I can't call that abbreviation right now, in which she's set up to be able to do the counseling services. And that would be mostly more towards the therapeutic side, but while we're doing that, if there are some other supports needed, a lot of times military people are still eligible for certain other types of supported services which they don't access or take advantage of. So therefore, once we see exactly what that challenge may be, we have to be an advocate. And sometimes you reach your congressional person or something to help them out. Because unfortunately, the military, they recruit and want you to do your part, and then they say they're proud. But when they're supposed to do their part, even as simple as the VA, they've had tremendous problems. We had to go and advocate and be able to help take the person somewhere else to, you know, get the support and help they need. But you also do that as a family component, because often there's a separation where the father or mother is away at a fort, and then the rest of the family behind is maybe challenged or struggling a little bit, and you have to step in and help them with what's needed. And even get to the schools, because often if the other person is working, they still can't get there to check on the kid if there's some challenges. And sometimes children start acting out because they feel they're almost being abandoned, because they could never have, you know, lengthy conversation or time with one of the parents and stuff. So those are the things that we, you know, deal with on the military basis. But that's off and on, because when Ms. Bagley do most of that counseling, she's actually stationed on a base. And then anything else we need to follow up with in terms of the family, that would be relayed to us and say, you know, check on this or check on that, in terms of, you know, resource support. And a lot of other nonprofits are very receptive if they know who they're trying to help, but, you know, they don't reach out to them often. So that's the way we try to be supportive in those areas.
Okay. That's good. You brought up something I was going to ask you about, other nonprofits. You and I first met at a meeting with a bunch of nonprofits, and I think that I still have that same feeling that I had that day, that we still get to a point where we want to meet about the meeting about that other meeting. And why is it that a lot of nonprofits today, Mr. Vaughn, are still in that same mindset where we always meet and we do very little, but we do a lot of talking, but there's not a lot of action? And it's a lot of them out there like that can do a lot of, have a lot of impact in the communities, but don't. Why do you feel that that's like that?
Well, unfortunately, I guess they have followed the blueprint, which was already in place, and they kind of feel they're going to follow through with that because that's what's already established. But unfortunately, the most effective way to partner and get something done is that you form a working relationship with them. Or in trying to form that relationship, you find out if they strictly policy-driven or are they action-driven. I don't associate that much with just those policy people because they're not moving. Often the families that we're trying to help have urgency involved with their situation. So if they say, yeah, they can fill out an application and then we'll review it in 30 days, and that, no, I need something for them next week.
That's right.
So I don't deal much with folks who got a name. United Way is in that category for us because they will always say what they're trying to do to help low-income families. But by the time they want all the paperwork filled out and do everything, the people could have died off or moved and stuff, or become homeless. So we don't deal that much with them. I mean, so there are some church-driven agencies, and then often they just have individual ministries that will be doing action agendas to help people. And that's who we try to establish a working relationship with. So when I call them, and it's a trade-off. So they could call me and say, hey, Vaughn, need you at least to go talk to this family, see what you could do, and we do it. And sometimes we could do some. Other times I say, their needs is a little bit more than what we could offer at this time because they need something done by Friday, and I can't do anything by Friday. So, but the nonprofits, and that you have some named nonprofits, as well as you have a lot of churches now that say, you know, they operating as a nonprofit. But some of the churches, once they grow to a certain size, they go through a long legislative process and stuff also. So you know who you could call on and do something, and then who you can't call on and do anything. So that's our engagement that we have right now. You have to seek out some people that look, you see them doing things, and you can get connected with them. And often, if you're doing kind of two separate things, you may actually do a partnership. And sometimes there's monies available on the local or state level that you could access to help you, because that's what those monies are for. So that's the way we try to approach it.
Well, that's good. That's a good good way to put that, Mr. Vaughn. Thank you for that. Let's talk about your program that you have for the incarcerated parents, because I think that that's awesome in itself right there. Just tell them a little bit about that program, the mentoring program for the children of incarcerated parents.
Well, recently there's been a shift in emphasis on that, because I told you about the very high incarcerated population for Georgia. So
right.
Some people have finally realized that, yeah, if you let them, the people back out, they just reentry, they just coming back out, and they may need some help on that adjustment. There's been some effort also in terms of helping them with employment, because before, many companies were just holding that strictly against them. You know, oh no, you can't pass the background check. So you're working at it from different angles, but you got a situation where there's certain crimes that people commit and they get a mandatory 10-year sentence. So when a teenager does that and he's 17, he's coming out at 27, but since he already got a 3-year-old, now that little girl is 13-year-old. If she started to mature and he's looking at her, hey, where are you going dressed like that? She say, why? What's it to you? I'm your father. Say, I don't know that. He can't get mad and say, because last time he saw her, she was in pigtails. Now she got a little weave and stuff in her hair. She's going out with her friends. That reentry is real important in terms of adjustment, so nothing goes wrong real quick again. And that's just for the children, but just for the wife and stuff also, or the mother or the children, because many are not, wasn't married. You know, if she has gone and started to, she went back to school, she's trying to do something to have a career, he got to be supportive of that career. He can't question it like, oh, well, you think you're too good for me now and stuff. If she stuck by him and saw him through, you know, his sentence and everything, I have to let him know. I say, no, if she thought she was too good, she would have just moved on and you wouldn't have had no forwarding address. So you got to bridge that gap there for them, because often they would be listening to other people who may not be the best people to give them advice. So, yeah, that reentry thing is pretty important in terms of trying to save that. The young man that just got killed by the police here at the Wendy's, as you know, a national story right now, he had been to prison and came out and said he had dreams and stuff and was trying to do better. He said, you know, acknowledge his mistakes. So, it's a lot. That's a heavy number right now of people trying to come out. And they also had to review it because part of that incarcerated population shouldn't have been there that long. So the federal people came in and say, yeah, you sent us a lot of these people, and it was unfair. And they start letting some out because they went back and looked and saw it was unfair sentencing. Here's a guy that had less than a pound of marijuana, and then they gave him 20 years because also there was some the crack thing. They had to go back and redo half of them cases because somebody had about 5 rocks of crack, and they gave him the 20 years, and then they catch another type person with a couple of pounds of coke, which is the same product, and they gave them 5 years. So a lot of dynamics have been taking place to try to bring some balance back into that also.
Wow.
So we're still trying to work the equation the best we can.
Okay. That's good right there. What about the counseling program that you have, the transitional housing counseling program, Sivan, for the public housing?
Well, we formed some partnerships with some of the public housing to try to better explain the situation and give the people a break in terms of getting in there. Unfortunately, a lot of the things that they put on a waiting list, which is not that great, but you still go through that. But we work with a lot of people who are getting housing vouchers, which even with that, they might need some help because they give you 90 days to use that housing voucher. And people get it and then don't do anything the first 30 days. They kind of sitting around saying, oh, I guess I better start calling somebody and stuff. But you're supposed to move with that right away. And then you help them through screen through the process because there's unscrupulous landlords out there and stuff also. And once they find a house, they got to pass the inspection. So if they don't pass the inspection right away, they still got time to do it. But some of these landlords don't move right away and stuff. So it's a challenge there in terms of making sure everybody could use the voucher the right way and keep some balance. And then we started developing some partnerships with some property owners who is willing to give people a second chance if they got some on their... Unfortunately, just general renting, they look at a credit score and rental history. And some of these folks have got an eviction or two on their record. And you got to see if that's squared away. So we run the credit history for them, then say, who is this people? And they say, yeah, well, I don't know why that's on there. Like, I wasn't really evicted. Then you got to go back and get that story straightened out, you know, for them so that even if it's on their credit history, we got a letter saying that was in error or something. So it's a lot involved, and housing is one of the cornerstones of the being stable. You know, you got the job and the housing, and then you got your family structure there, so making sure that that's okay. So... that's what we do with the housing part, which is pretty big, and a lot of people recognize that also, that, yeah, you got to have proper housing. Because for one of the problems with the kids trying to come back out of foster care is that the state will only let them go back once they see they're in stable housing. They can't go back to the hotels or anything of that nature. Or if the house is overcrowded. Sometimes you got 12 people living in the 3-bedroom house, and that's too many people to have proper sleeping quarters and stuff for children.
And a lot of that
effort on that part.
But a lot of that is done through, which my next thing was going. But a lot of that is done with defects, correct?
Yeah. That's where the we're doing part of that is with the children trying to come back out of foster care, where the parents have already got the other elements stable, but they still don't have housing. And the prevention
right.
with the housing would be is that credit thing or something still not working for them. So we have, you know, a few people who are benevolent and will extend them that opportunity to still get housing, though.
And you have a large relationship with the Department of Family and Children's Services there in Georgia.
Yeah, we have a working relationship because sometimes they actually have to help pay that deposit. Because we can't get that waived. So somebody still got to help with that deposit, even though the parents is working. They may not have that $800 to pay the deposit and the first month rent. So they need some maybe help with the deposit, then they're able to pay the rent, at which DFACS then will see that it's a buy-in, that, okay, they ain't asked for everything. They putting up something on their own also.
That's good. So, Mr. Vaughn, this has been good. This has been very informative. So I would like for you to, we have a working relationship at Young Adults Talk and Bagley that we've had for a while as well. And that's been great. You all are licensed in different areas as well, outside of Georgia as well, correct?
Well, we have to check and make sure that it's okay with the state. We did do some work in Montgomery in the past, so I don't know if that's a new requirement that you got to go back and renew anything or not, but... any of your constituents that need to call me and we talk, you know, certainly you could pass along the contact information. So, because that's just a heritage obligation I have, as well as a Christian obligation to make sure I share that information that could be of benefit to them. Then if we're talking about trying to, partner and do something together, then certainly we're open to that. And, you know, we've been in the neighborhood before, and the timing just didn't click for us, but God's timing is always there.
Amen to that. We're gonna take a quick break, Mr. Vaughn, come back, and I'm going to open up the lines for any statements, comments, or questions for you. And we'll
sure.
get out of here. We thank everybody that's listening out there for being part of Breaking Chains tonight. Stand by as Breaking Chains with the special assignment, Mr. Vaughn, from College Park, Georgia, Deputy Director of Operations, Bagley Youth Development. Something else, Mr. Vaughn, tell us a little bit. I forgot about this, and I'm glad. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Tell us about your nonprofit organization. Because you all have a nonprofit organization there, Bagley.
Well, yeah, it's
that
Bagley Center for Change, in which
right.
It's a 501c3, in which we could operate and receive donations, and which we turn around and use with the family. We get some furniture donations from people sometime, and we just facilitate that and get it turned around with them. As well as we pick up some other small monetary donations. It's kind of difficult to go in and do some counseling with a family if their light's been cut off. So if they need that $50 to get their lights back on, we have a little something to assist in that area and keep everything moving. So the Center for Change is set up. We still do all the type of services that we've already discussed. The Center for Change just allows us to be able to get donations where a company would say, we could give you this so we could write it off. You say, here you go. This is what you need. So that has worked, you know, pretty beneficial in the past, and we're going to try to grow that actually more because we need that flexibility right now because there's some more corporations that are becoming more social conscious, especially now that you're talking about Black Lives Matter. You can see where people are signing on, saying, yeah, they want to be a part of it. Even the race car driving, the black driver said, hey, can we get rid of that Confederate flag? And, of course, I thought that was going to be one of the tougher sales, and it has been because the people presented a hangman noose in his garage and stuff. So they just, you know, that's just tough for that population to relinquish that all at one time. But he got some big names that stepped up. But at this point in time, since they're saying they're going to have some money to donate to certain things, we might be able to tap into some of those resources also.
That's good. That's good. All right. We appreciate that, Ms. Vaughn. Everybody stand by. You listen to Breaking Chains. It's a special assignment right here on YAT Radio. Hang on.
Breaking Chains. Call in live during the show at 858-357-9137.
And listen live on our website at youngadultstalk.org.
All right, welcome back to Breaking Chains, a special assignment. Pastor Rod's on your radio. Got my special guest today, Mr. Vines, on the radio with us, Deputy Director, Operations for Bagley Youth Development right there in College Park, Georgia. Had a great show tonight. Mr. Vines, before we go, I want you to do me a favor. I would love to bring you back next week. I'd love to talk about something else, have some more time, and talk about some programs, because I think a lot of parents have had their children home since March, and there are a lot of centers that's not going to be open for the summer. A lot of programs will be shut down, and like to talk about some ideas and some ways that we can help these parents to come up with some things to help with their children throughout the summer, and no telling how long their children are going to be at home to kind of help to ease some of the tension on the brain. So love to be able to get to some of that, and if time permits itself. But before we go,
sure.
Can you give something positive to the people, to put on something for them to think well, everything that you said tonight, but give them something to help them throughout the night, to something that you can just give them a good brain freeze or something. I don't know what to call it, but just something positive for the people out there.
Well, kind of depending on the age in which they're working with, you're trying to look for some age-appropriate type of activities for them. In terms of some of the kids that's, say, 13 to 15, because they have a challenge trying to get a job and they might want to work, it may come up with something to help them in terms of entrepreneurial effort. They could, everybody don't necessarily have to cut the grass, but a lot of people, that the letters, the numbers on their house may have been worn off from the sun. They could offer to repaint those, you know, for them. They could get a little steno thing and a spray paint, and that comes out well, and they could do something like that. And often they could also look to the florist and see about a type of flower, because a lot of times people, they may get the grass cut, but they might want to start doing some flowers there and stuff. So that's something they could do on the outside basis that's not overly dangerous in terms of climbing up on the roof and doing stuff. Or they might even, a lot of people need their garages cleaned up and reset. Because you can see when people roll up their garage door, now all that stuff is piled up on the side and stuff. So if they able to do that, and an adult could help supervise them a little bit and tell them how to approach people so they won't think some people is coming up trying to break in the house. That's certainly something that could be done, and they would have time doing it and earn, you know, a little money in terms of staying busy and still being productive. Some other things they could start looking at if they have an interest in music or art. There's still people around who's doing some of those type of things. They even paint on walls and stuff. Now, they paint a lot of murals. They may go and learn something from them. Or some people, I've seen before, some young people came together and did a little quartet type thing and started playing in the malls instead of, you know, the guy playing on the street with the guitar or the trumpet. They went into the malls and started playing and got some recognition. And, you know, with that, of course, they would still need to dress appropriately, I guess, for that type of engagement and make sure they get permission from the management. But it kind of depends on age appropriateness in terms of, you know,
right,
some of the engagements that they could do.
That's good. That's good, Mr. Bond. I would love to talk about that some more on next week, because I want to be able to take a part three to this type of show to help with our young people and our parents with our children, because you know, they're going to need some assistance, and we would like to offer that assistance with them. So, Mr. Vaughn, I'm going to open up the lines now and see if any of our listeners would like to ask any questions or make any comments or any statements or anything. So God bless you. Good evening and welcome to Breaking Chains YAT Radio. If there anyone would like to ask any questions, make any comments for Mr. Vaughn tonight, the lines are not open for you. I see Dr. Kemp is here tonight. God bless you, Dr. Kemp. Welcome to the show. You have any comments, statements, or questions for Mr. Vaughn tonight, sir?
Yes, sir. I just want to thank you. I came in a little late, and but everything I heard was very informative. I used to have a little program that we had. Was called Don't Look Back Ministries, and we deal with the parish prison and different prison system, where we was give them a little support to different inmates and letting them know that they're out, they committed the crime, they paid their due to society, and now don't look back at the mistake. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward the mark of the higher calling. And that we call it Don't Look Back Ministries. But I wanted to get some further information. Maybe I get his number from you about getting a program when they different individuals get out of prison. They don't really give them enough. When they release them, it's like some guy been 20 years, some guy been you know, locked up some years, and what it is, they need to be slowly reorientated back into society.
Yes,
with jobs, taking them out looking for jobs and different things, and housing,
right?
And maybe get into that. I may try to get into a program with that. I have some guys that I know. I've been working with some guys that been out for a while. I know New Orleans we had one here, but I may could get some information dealing with that.
Yeah, unfortunately, each state may vary a little bit in terms of their commitment on that, but most of them now are recognizing they do have a commitment. So there's a couple of ways to approach it. You can find out with the pardon and paroles. They have the inmates have to come back in and report in when they first are released to show that they are looking for a job. But that becomes frustrating because a lot of people won't hire them because of their background and depending on what they went in for. But yeah, I would be able to go over that with you a little bit more so you could see if there's some quick connection to build on go. You already got a working concept, you know, with the name. That's a very good name to associate with the action there. But
right. That's good.
Yeah, we would need to talk more. You could give me a little bit more information in terms of what direction you already took or possibilities of connecting with some resources, whether it's from the state or individuals. So I could help address that for you.
That's great. That's great. Okay. That's great. Dr. Kemp, well, I'll call you and give you that information.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. That's good. That's good. All right. If there are any other callers that got any questions, statements, anything for Mr. Vaughn, the line is open for you. Okay. All right.
Yeah, didn't impress too many people. That's okay.
you reach some people.
You reach a lot of people. You're very informative, Mr. Vaughn. Very informative. Very informative. Great show, Mr. Vaughn. I thank you for taking the time out, sir, and coming on and helping out the people tonight. And tell your grandson, thank you very much for giving up this time. We'll allow you to come on the air.
He went on home with his mother, so.
Okay. So we thank you, Mr. Vaughn, and being a part of this tonight. We look forward to sharing this again on next week and coming up with some programs that we can offer the people and We pray that the information that was given tonight was muchly needed and very much accepted by the people. So thank you very much, Mr. Vaughn. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
All right. Dr. Kemp, if you don't mind, sir, can you pray us out tonight?
Yes, sir. Heavenly Eternal Father, we come in the mighty name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we come, Lord, thanking you, Lord, for the innate ability to do what comes from our heart. We thank you for this innate ability that this young man have to reach out for those who've been incarcerated, knowing that that African Americans are incarcerated at alarming rate and unfairly sentenced to larger amounts of time. Now, Lord, we pray, Lord, that it was something said, something done in this your program that gave us more knowledge of how to reach out and help others. For Jesus gave two commandments, was to love the Lord God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind. He said, second unto that was to love our neighbor as ourselves. And Lord, he also said, when I was homeless, he said, when I was thirsty, did you give me a drink? When I was hungry, did you feed me? When I was naked, did you clothe me? When I was in prison, did you visit me? And when you were sick, did you visit? He said, what you do to the least of them, you've done unto me. So those who are incarcerated, if we don't reach out to try to save them and try to reach out and lend a hand, we're doing it unto Christ. All too often we write them off, Lord, but you never write anyone off. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for all the wonderful and abundance of information that was given tonight. Yeah. We ask that you would bless him and his family. Make each and every home that's listening, Lord, home of peace, home of prayer. And, Lord, we just thank you, Lord. And we want to just say thank you, Lord, for bringing Reverend Williams here, that he would have individual with the knowledge and wisdom to help others to broadcast this and that we could pick up the things. We know not many people had much to say, Lord, but the wealth of information that was given out and some of the things that were said might have been a little overhead, but it shouldn't have been overhead because all of us have someone, Lord, that's been incarcerated. We haven't had someone, most of all, a lot of people themselves being African American have been incarcerated. Lord, we ask that you would bless those who lost loved one with COVID-19. And Lord, we ask that you would bless those, Lord, who have loved ones in the hospitals all over the country, Lord, all over the world. We ask, Lord, that you would send us a cure. And Lord, that we're going through something right now with racism that never left America, that have plagued us from slavery. Lord God, after reform, we got to Jim Crow, and then we got to the civil rights and our systemic racism. Help us, Lord, to reach out and that we could open the eyes of those whose eyes are purposely shut, those who are not doing anything about it. 155 years is a long time to not do anything and make the necessary changes. Time is of the essence. Oh, Lord, we just thank you and we praise you. Bless this ministry. Continue to lead, guide, and strengthen Roderick Williams as he continues his ministry to help us and help our community. In the name of Jesus, we pray and for his sake. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. All right. God bless everybody. We'll see you tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, with Breaking Chains and History Talk with Dr. Lavert Kemp. Pastor will be on tomorrow night to talk about our history, who you are and whose you are. Don't forget to tune in. Have yourself a good one. Thank you, Mr. Vaughn, for another wonderful night. We'll see you next week. And Dr. Kemp, we'll see you tomorrow. Everybody, much love to you. God bless you. And have yourself a blessed night. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Oh, my people, I love you. We're a family. Yeah, you and me, hey. We'll make through it all. No matter what the cost, we're a family. Yeah, you and me, hey. We'll make it through the pain, the rain, and all the trouble by ourselves. Oh, 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 oh. My people, I love you.
I love you.
We are dying.
We are dying.
They are lying. We're being shot and haunted. Why you hating me? I'm just trying to be.
Play
it like a
bee. Great like a bee.
Grow with one another. Living happily.
Living happily.
But you hurting me.
You hurting me.
Why not work for peace?
Why not work for peace?
Lying from Zion. I am a king.
And you're a queen.
Word to say.
Have a peaceful word to say.
Have a peaceful place for kids to run. Yeah, you and me, hey, we'll make it through it all. No matter what the cost, we're family. Yeah, you and me, hey, we'll make it through the pain and rain and all the trouble by ourselves.
People, I love you.
My people, I love you. I love you, my people. I love you,
my people.
I feel your pain, people. I feel your pain, people.
We're family.
God bless and thanks for listening to Breaking Chains on YAT Radio. Listen every night as we live stream on www.blogtalkradio.com/YAT Radio or call in live 858-357-9137. Breaking Chains on YAT Radio, leaving a mark that can't be erased by breaking the chains of silence.
Thanks for turning us on this evening. Just know we are here to assist you in recovering your light from back from the darkness. Speak the Truth with Young Adults Talk Live, a ministry for the people of God. So let's join together and recover what's ours. God bless you from the Young Adults Talk family.